week of Champions League football behind us, let's get going with the weekend action, and what a weekend it promises to be. All of the TV games in the Premier League look enticing enough, even taking into account Liverpool-West Ham on Monday night could be a romp. DK returns alongside Alex Dunn to talk you through those shortly, but how about Derek, eh? A winning nap. Not only that, but it was almost 4-1. His bit this week is unmissable. Pete Farries, Gav P and Al Ross are here to give you some top tips in the Football League, and I'll be back later with details on this week's Bet Boost. But first, it's DK and Alex, and guys, Saturday starts with a London derby.
It does, thank you, Emma. I'm delighted to be alongside Alex Dunn. We'll get stuck into Chelsea versus Spurs in a couple of moments' time. Good to be back.
Yes, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. You've had a nice break skiing.
I feel refreshed.
You're not injured?
No.
Always a bonus.
Got back safe and sound.
And yeah, more football to look forward to. So let's crack on.
Let's do it. Chelsea versus Spurs first up. Chelsea are odds on here, 8-11 to win the match. The draw is 29-10. Spurs are in the betting at 18-5. Wide range of markets on the William Hill website and on the app as usual. I was looking at these prices and I thought, Chelsea 8-11. That's skinny enough, isn't it? I mean, they've lost 7 games at Stamford Bridge this season. I know Spurs have got a woeful record away from home against Chelsea, but I don't want any part of that 8-11.
No, Chelsea, since the turn of the year, have not been in fantastic form, really, in the Premier League. And as a result, you look at them at this price and you think, maybe not, particularly because they're coming off the back of a very similar game, you'd have thought, against the Manchester United side, who going forwards, you'd have said, had a couple of issues and players missing. And Spurs are going to be pretty similar here. And Chelsea are a fairly short price. I was quite happy to side with Chelsea against Man U, and that came back to bite me. There were a couple of games, actually, last weekend that price-wise, afterwards, it's very easy to look back in hindsight. But you go, well...
What was I thinking there?
Burnley away at Southampton and Man U away at Chelsea
were
prime... I'd say standardly, not a word, typically, I would be quite happy siding with the bigger price.
Yeah.
But on that occasion, I just thought we'd see home wins, and we didn't. Here, I couldn't have Chelsea at this price. No. If they win, then I'm quite happy to let them win. What did you say, 8-11?
Yeah.
It's a little too short. Without Tammy Abraham as well in the last game, they looked pretty clueless. Now, he may be back for this, but regardless of that, I don't see Chelsea as being odds on here.
Everyone's talking about Spurs' injury problems, and they've got quite a few. Jose Mourinho, in his press conference after the defeat midweek against RB Leipzig, he was saying that, oh, Chelsea, they'll be well rested for this game. Spurs having to do this and that, and without Son Heung-min and Harry Kane. Obviously, it's a big problem for them, but as you've mentioned, Tammy Abraham's been out for Chelsea. They've missed Christian Pulisic as well, and Callum Hudson-Odoi. Whether any of those three are back for this game remains to be seen. But it's not just Spurs that have got problems at the moment. Chelsea have got big issues as well. And he is a massive loss for them.
Well, Kane is the big loss to start with.
Yeah.
But it says something that he's not far behind in terms of... You could play Harry Kane, but if there's no one to provide him with anything, he won't score goals. Son can create things out of nothing. And the fact that he's now out for, well, possibly the rest of the season, if not a good chunk of it, Kane out as well, and you think, well, where are the goals going to come from? I do think Spurs have got a good chance of scoring in this game, though. We've seen Chelsea at the back throughout the course of the season have been pretty porous, and though they have looked decent on occasion, that is on occasion. Now, when Spurs lose, I think their last three losses in all competitions now have been 1-0. So basically what I'm saying is, if you can see Spurs scoring here, then you've got to look for something pro-Spurs, quite simply. And I think Spurs could score here. Now, they didn't manage to in midweek without Son and Kane. And you're going to see a pretty similar lineup here because they don't have the capability to shuffle the pack.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
But I'd be looking at Lucas Moura. I'd be looking at Steven Bergwijn, who we don't know as much about in terms of Premier League calibre. But he scored against Man City. That was a fantastic goal. And though he was quiet in midweek, I'm hoping that he can step up. Dele Alli had a bit of a huff, but I'm hoping that that'll be patched up. And
that was blown out of all proportion. I think basically Dele Alli wasn't particularly happy with his own performance,
yeah,
the team's performance. And he's got every right to be annoyed. He got dragged off and he'd done a lot of hard work in that gate. I know hard work doesn't necessarily matter that much in the Premier League. You're talking about the end product.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't create anything in that game, but he'd worked hard for the team. I think he was just annoyed more than anything else, not with Mourinho, just with his own performance and his team's performance.
I looked at the game and I actually found some prices on the website that I thought, oh, wow, that's huge. I think I saw like Lucas Moura to score in both halves.
Yeah.
It's like 40 to 1. That's obviously, you know, that would be a bit of a dream. But I do think Spurs can cause problems here. Moura, by the way, he may end up being the pick here, but he's been pretty badly out of form. He's going to have to play himself into form. He's going to get the opportunity to because there's no one else. But I think they can still cause problems. And you often see when it looks like a team has no striking options, different players come to the fore and players can play above themselves in a new position. That could be the case for Spurs here.
Let me flesh it out with some prices. Steven Bergwijn, you mentioned, he's 17 to 5 to score any time. Lucas Moura, 27 to 10 to score any time. I just think the way these two teams are going at the moment, the lack of firepower, I'm looking at under 2.5 goals. I think it's a good price in this game. So that's my bet, under 2.5 in the match.
Interesting. No Son, no Kane for Spurs. And that is going to be a big problem for them. But they're going to have to adapt. There's a lot of games still to be played without the big two, if you like, for them.
Yeah.
So for all that Chelsea are probably worthy favourites here, and let's not forget, when they played each other before Christmas, Chelsea went to Spurs and won well. Mm. I'm just not convinced with Chelsea at that price. So I'd be looking elsewhere and I'm going to focus on Lucas Moura. He's the man who is going to be given the opportunity in the absence of Son and Kane. And for him to score any time seems a fair price. So I'll side with Lucas Moura.
Again, yes. Lucas Moura to score any time is the pick for Alex Dunn here. Now we're going to talk number crunchers, and Ben Barrett has had a look at the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday.
It's time to crunch some numbers ahead of the Premier League 3 p.m. kickoffs this weekend. Starting at Selhurst Park and Crystal Palace host Newcastle. They're separated by just 1 point in 13th and 14th place. Both know a win here will likely end any slim chances of being dragged into a relegation scrap, so there's plenty to play for. The form guide suggests it could be a tight one. Since 2016, these two have met 6 times, with just one of those games seeing more than one goal. When they met in December, a late goal from Miguel Almiron was all that separated the sides, so we're going low on the goals once more. Under 2.5 in the match is a short price, under 1.5 is odds against, and that is rather tempting. Sheffield United have genuine ambitions of pipping Tottenham and Manchester United into European qualification spots this season, and they host a Brighton side who are leaking goals at an alarming rate. The Seagulls have shipped 7 goals in their last 3, including 3 each against West Ham and Bournemouth. They salvaged a draw against Watford last time out, but coming up against superior opposition could be the undoing of the South Coast side. United may have come unstuck in games against the very top sides in the division, but their record against the bottom half teams is nearly impeccable, winning 6 of their last 7 against those placed 11th or below. The Blades aren't blowing sides away though. They haven't scored more than 2 in any game since November, but should still get the job done at Bramall Lane this weekend. Finally, we go to St Mary's, where Southampton host Aston Villa. It hasn't been a season of home comforts for the Saints, who have performed far better on the road so far. They've succumbed to both Burnley and Wolves on home soil of late and scored just 14 goals in their own backyard all season. As for Villa, they don't travel particularly well, having only beaten Norwich and Burnley on the road. When poor home form plays poor away form, it can be beneficial to look for a player bet rather than a team one, and it's been the Danny Ings show so far for the Saints this campaign. Since the infamous 9-0 thrashing by Leicester, Ings has netted in 6 of the last 8 home Premier League games. He's favoured to do so again, and that seems fair. He scored twice in the reverse fixture in December, so backing him to do so again makes the most sense of all.
On to what looks like the game of the weekend, Leicester City taking on Manchester City at the King Power. Leicester are 100-30 to win the game, the draw 3-1, Manchester City 3-4. Don't forget to build your odds on the William Hill website and on the app ahead of this one as well. Looking forward to this game. Mm. And I think many people will be attracted by the 100-30 quote about Leicester City. I'd note a little bit of caution there, though, because they've not been watertight defensively at home recently. And I think UEFA meeting out that punishment on Manchester City means that Pep Guardiola's promoting a siege mentality now. And I think that might help them in the end of the season, even though the league title is long gone and this is all about the Champions League now for Manchester City. I can see them getting some good results in the Premier League, and they come into this on the back of that training ground match against West Ham midweek where they completely dominated possession.
We were just saying off air, Rodri in that game
yeah.
had 178 completed passes. Now, if you don't study the passing markets, I'd say for a centre midfielder, even in a game they're dominating, to push past 80 is something.
Yeah.
180 is ridiculous. It's the most since these records began in 2003-04. It's more than West Ham had in that game.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I want to touch on Leicester first here.
Okay.
We'll get back to City in a second. That's Man City. Sorry, Leicester fans. I hate it when people do that as well about United.
We've not even put that on the screen here.
Anyway, the Foxes. Defensively haven't been quite as good. In fact, I'd say this calendar year they haven't been particularly impressive.
That's true.
Vardy's been out of form. And
yeah.
I don't know why. Could it be the fact that they were sort of... It's a very nice place to be marooned, but marooned in second/third.
It could be that they were overachieving in the first half of the season as well.
Complacency could be an issue. I don't really think it is. But you factor in the fact that they're not going to catch Liverpool. They're not going to drop out the top four, barring an absolute collapse.
Yeah.
So what's left to play for? Maybe that you could say that's a thing. But the key for Leicester, I think, is Wilfred Ndidi. He's had such a good season, and his injury coincided with their drop in form. So getting him back and fit will be a priority. He came back for the League Cup semi-final second leg, and then he's missed a couple of games. So the sooner he's back for Leicester, the better. You've got two holding midfielders there, Rodri and Ndidi, who really are key for their respective teams. For Rodri, it's dictating the tempo and playing those short passes to the players.
Kevin De Bruyne does that as well, though, doesn't he?
Well, he does, but he's a player that can.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more Rodri's just the recycler, isn't he? Gets the ball, gives it to someone better, with all due respect, and then De Bruyne will then go and work his magic. Mm. Indeed, he's a very different role. He's the destroyer, but he's got such an engine on him. I'm a massive fan of his anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sooner he's back for Leicester, the better. Without him, it hasn't looked quite the same. We've seen Hamza Choudhury, who got sent off against Wolves last week, hasn't quite been able to match those energy levels and do the same job. You said some people will be tempted by Leicester at the price. I'm probably one of them, to be fair. I think if you play law of averages, Leicester this season shouldn't be quite as big as this at home to Man City.
Why do you think Manchester City haven't performed or scaled the heights they achieved last season? What do you think the reason behind that is?
I don't know, to be honest. Defensively,
it's something that's difficult to put your finger on, though, isn't it? Because they have had defensive concerns throughout the course of the season. Do you think that's bled into the rest of the team? They've not been as clinical as they were last year.
No, not at all. Their strikers have not been as good.
Yeah.
Jesus has come in and he's been pretty good for the most part this season. But Aguero struggled with fitness early doors and then he's hit form a little bit. Sterling hasn't had a superb season, or at least the last couple of months. And you're always clouded by recency, aren't you? But he has been out of form and, of course, he's injured at the minute. I think they've missed having Leroy Sané as an option. It just hasn't worked for them, has it? They haven't looked anywhere near as formidable as they have done in recent years. So it's hard to say, but I think in recent years they'd have won games, quite a lot of games, 1-0, 2-0 away from home, whereas now they're conceding a goal. That makes it a lot more difficult.
This is a game I'm really looking forward to. I think it will be very entertaining. I like over 3.5 goals in the match.
Yeah, I'd be hopeful for goals as well, to be honest. I think Leicester have actually disappointed me in the last month or so, but I'm hopeful they can bounce back, having had a little bit of a break now. Man City, away from home, they're always there to be got at this season. And Leicester's home record's pretty good. Only Liverpool and Southampton have gone to the King Power and won. And though Man City could go there and win, at the price, I'm more than happy to take a chance on Leicester. Jamie Vardy's obviously one to talk about. He's not been in very good form recently.
Not.
He's got a fair record against Man City. If you are looking for something massive, then him to score in a Leicester win. But I'll take Leicester outright at a fair price.
OK, Leicester to win the game. I'm going with over 3.5 goals in the match. Now it's time for one of the favourite segments on this show. We're going to have Derek's Bit.
Poor old Pep Guardiola. After City's European ban, the Spaniard is being tipped to leave the Etihad in the summer. When everyone knows the correct time to leave the Etihad is 15 minutes before the end. That's assuming you bothered to turn up in the first place, which you probably haven't. City are, of course, appealing against the UEFA ban for financial wrongdoing. The Manx have fallen foul of financial fair play rules, meaning FFP is hated by City fans as much as VAR is hated by Wolves fans and QPR is hated by QPR fans. Guardiola's men have lost 6 Premier League games this season, the same number as Wolves and Arsenal. Yet are odds on away from home to beat a team who at the start of this week were only a point behind them in the league. Leicester, in third place in the league, are 7-2 to win at home. I'm guessing there will be better bets around this weekend. When you find one, please tell me. Every so often you come across a bet you can't possibly see losing. Every now and again it wins. There's one this weekend in the shape of Villa at 4-1 to win at Southampton. I've spoken before how overrated Saints are by bookies. I'm even beginning to suspect the Chief Hill's odds compiler is Ralph Hassenhuddle. Hardened punters have betting rules we stick rigidly to, at least for a couple of hours. Like, always hide your winnings in your underpants because it's the last place you'll look. Another cast iron rule I have recently adopted, in fact just this last minute, is this. When Southampton are odds on, back their opponents. No one has won fewer home games in the Premier League than Southampton. The only team who should be 4-1 to win there is Southampton. Get on Villa at 4s. Thank me later.
How about that then? Derek going with another big price this week, having landed with Burnley last week at similar odds. Aston Villa 4-1 this week to win at Southampton. Do you like it?
I don't mind it. He's sticking with the tried and trusted, isn't he, really? He took Southampton on last week at home and he's doing the same again at a similar price again. The thing is with Villa is just they're unpredictable.
Mm.
But Southampton are at the minute as well. I can see why he's going for it at the price.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that winner last week affected the Naps table. We'll have that to come later on in
the programme. You know what? I am remarkably close to just telling you where to go there. I nearly did. But then that'll be work in the edit because you'll have to bleep it out. Yeah. I'm not going to. I'm going to say, don't say nasty things, Dave.
Okay. Arsenal, Everton, next up. Arsenal 21-20, the draw 13-5. Everton in the betting at 13-5. If you're looking at match result and both teams to score, which I think people might be doing in this fixture, Arsenal are 12-5 in that market. The draw 16-5. Everton to win with both teams. Finding the onion bag. There you go. 5-1, that is.
It's different.
It's different.
I'll give you that.
I'm not sure I'll do it again.
As catchphrases go, it's not your strongest.
Both teams to score, yes, is 4-6. No is in the betting at 11-10. Wide range of markets, including enhanced odds and your odds on the William Hill website as well. My best bet comes in this game. I'm going with Everton to win the match at that price of 13-5. They're both in good form at the moment. Arsenal unbeaten in the league since mid-December. Everton unbeaten in the league since New Year's Day. Mm. I've been more impressed with Everton, though. I think with Duncan Ferguson came in and took temporary charge, and I think that helped out Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And he's linked up with Richarlison and Bernard, and they formed a pretty formidable partnership, that trio, recently. And I'm more impressed with them than Arsenal at the moment.
Well, Calvert-Lewin's become a real force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, he has.
I'm a big fan of his. I want to start with Arsenal here because they've actually kept a few clean sheets recently, which is bizarre. I wasn't as taken by them last weekend as the scoreline would suggest. 4-0 makes it look like they hammered Newcastle. They didn't. They took the chances well, and they were the better team, but 4-0 seemed a bit excessive. The one player, or there's two players actually, who I'd take out of that game, Bukayo Saka was there for all to see going forward.
He was
very good.
Yeah.
Defensively, we don't know because no one really tested him, but he was fantastic going forward. And the other one is Dani Ceballos came back into midfield and almost played like Cesc Fabregas. That link between defence and attack is what Arsenal have been missing, and he was very, very good in that role. So I'd be interested to see how those two get on here.
What about Pepe? I'm happy with Pepe Le Feu as well.
I know you are.
Yeah.
He scored. He got a couple of assists. And
you weren't that impressed with him because many people think that might be a watershed moment for him.
It could be, and I'd like to see more of him. When he came, I was really excited to see how he was going to take to the Premier League. And he has been a bit of a slow burner, hasn't he?
Oh, definitely.
That could be the start of something. He'll certainly be happy. Of course, he's now managing against another club that he played for. Mm. Pepe could go on to bigger and better things from now. But I don't get too carried away with that 4-0 win. It makes it look like it was like you said, the moment that will kickstart Arsenal's season. And it could be. But Everton is a stiff test. It's interesting that Arsenal here are hovering around the even money mark.
Yeah.
Whereas last week they were around 2-5. I don't think that quite adds up as far as I'm concerned. I'd certainly rather take them this time than I would last week. But you've also got to factor in, because you said you like Everton here.
Yeah, I do.
Everton's record at Arsenal is absolutely abysmal. They've not won there this millennium. And we're getting into it now, you know. So that would be a cause for concern for me. But under Ancelotti, Everton have been so much better. They've been so much harder to beat. That said, their recent fixtures have actually been quite kind. So again, you can look into things and go, hang on, that team's lost 4 of the last 5. But if they're against the 4 of the top 5 in the league, then you can understand why. This is an interesting game, and I'm intrigued to see how it goes. I'm hopeful for a little bit of entertainment. But as I said, you do get Arsenal now under Arteta defensively have looked a bit better. And one more thing, the reverse fixture between these two was absolutely shocking. It was abysmal. Possibly the worst game of the season. So we need more from them, both of them.
Carlo Ancelotti's won twice at Arsenal as a manager. I think he lands the hat-trick here. I'm going with Everton to win the game. Big bet for me.
I couldn't side with Everton purely off the back of their record at Arsenal. It is horrendous. And I know that it's a very different Everton side now to the one that will have been there through the course of the last 20-odd years. But Arsenal, for all that they didn't impress me as much as 4-0 would suggest against Newcastle, they may have enough here. I'm going to take the result out of it, though, and side with the main man for Arsenal, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I'm going to take him to score first. Quite a confident pick, actually. He's got a good record against Everton since joining Arsenal. He scored first last weekend, and I think he can do so again. So I'll side with Aubameyang to score first.
Very good. Thank you, Alex. Difference of opinion there to a certain extent as well. I'm going with Everton. Alex going with Aubameyang to get the first goal in that game. Looking forward to it. Arsenal taking on Everton at the Emirates.
The lads have picked out a few selections for you this weekend, and there's one more to come in a moment. But don't forget, once you've picked yours, whether you agree with Dunny and DK or not, you can use your bet boost to make your returns even better. Pick 3 or more in your accumulator, hit that boost button and watch the price get bigger. Right then, gents, Liverpool v West Ham. Do the Hammers stand a chance?
I very much doubt it, Emma. West Ham have been woeful recently. They're 16-1 to go to Anfield and win, which looks a bit skinny to me. The draw is 13-2. Liverpool in the betting at 1-6. If you fancy both teams to score in the match, yes is even money. No could be attractively priced there, 8-11. Liverpool do come into this on the back of that Champions League defeat against Atletico Madrid midweek. Didn't have a shot on target in that game either. I think that's the second time that's happened since 2015. So it's a rarity for Liverpool, and there might be, I mean, that next Champions League clash doesn't happen for, is it 3 weeks, I think?
Yeah.
So they won't be thinking about that when they entertain West Ham, but maybe it'll be creeping into the subconscious, perhaps, that they didn't have a shot on target in that game.
It's poised, isn't it, now?
Yeah, and that looks
set
good,
for
doesn't it?
A good game at Anfield. As a
atmosphere
neutral,
as well.
Yeah.
Hostile, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Liverpool were a little underwhelming, really. Still, you wouldn't be surprised if they go and win the second leg comfortably. But just the fact that they didn't get the away goal means that if Atleti do, Liverpool all of a sudden need 3.
Yeah.
And while they can do that, and you wouldn't bat an eyelid if they did, it just that there's that sense of jeopardy now. And I think it's pretty much a pick'em, isn't it?
For 5-6 it is for Liverpool to qualify. Yeah. Atleti 19-20, so almost a pick'em.
Almost. I'd probably just side with Liverpool there. But it's interesting because it's not often this season that Liverpool have had to approach a game off the back of a defeat.
Yeah.
It hasn't really happened for them. And yes, they've had a fair gap between these two games. Basically, I'm trying to get some more meat on this preview because, to be honest, it seems really straightforward, doesn't it?
It does.
There's some games where you can go, I could give them a chance. Having seen what West Ham did at Man City, I can't see them lining up any differently. Or I don't think they'll change system. It'll be 5 at the back and a combination of whatever they can get going forward.
They've won 17 straight matches, Liverpool. That's just one shy of the all-time record held by Manchester City. So they will have that well in their sights. And I think that's why they won't take their eye off the ball, because the Premier League title is won. It's only complacency that will stop them adding to their points total now. But with that carrot just dangling in front of them now, I think Liverpool will. I think they'll demolish West Ham here, and it saddens me to say that because can I have a second team?
Not in the same league as the first team.
No, West Ham are my second team. I've got a soft spot for the Hammers. My dad supports them, but the appointment of David Moyes, I thought wasn't exactly inspirational.
No. You mentioned dangling a carrot there, along with the onion bag. Are you just trying to get the vegetables in? Is that your thing this week?
Someone's dropped someone's a tenner if you can get three vegetables in. I'm on two so far.
Well, Liverpool haven't been leaking many goals this season. In recent weeks, it's been an absolute clean sheet fest for Liverpool, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact that you can get Liverpool to win to nil here at only a little bit of odds on, it's going to make plenty of appeal to a lot of people. When you see a side at sixes on, I think the first port of call for a lot of people is, well, can we back them and both teams to score? Or can
we
back them?
It's 10-11, I'm surprised at that.
It's okay, that.
Yeah.
The way it's priced up suggests that it is as likely to not happen as it is to happen. I'd say it's more likely to happen than not.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be a pick here. It is short, but it's probably the only way to go. What I would say for West Ham is, against Man City, they didn't play Haller, they didn't play Jared Bowen. I'd like to see them actually go and have a go, but I can also see why they haven't done that yet. They are in a real problem here, because you can't see them picking up loads of points in the next month or so. And before you know it, there's only going to be six or seven games left. We highlighted it last week, myself and Lee. I still think they'll get out of it eventually, but you're going to have to play the long game and it might go down to the last game.
Liverpool looking for 18 straight Premier League wins. They're going to win this one. It's about finding value. I'm going with Sadio Mane to score first in the game. He's got four in his last five against the Hammers. So that's my pick.
I think Liverpool will win. I think they'll probably win to nil as well. And while that is it's an okay price, to be honest with you, it's still short. So we're going to go for a correct score here. I think we'll see a similar scoreline to when West Ham went to Man City. They will sit back. They'll let Liverpool do what they want. It will be damage limitations for me. I'm going to say 2-0 to be the scoreline again. Liverpool don't need to do any more than that. West Ham would probably take that if you offered them it right now, as silly as that sounds. 2-0 for me.
Okay, 2-0 for Liverpool in that one. Now it's time to get the best bets in the Football League this weekend.
This week's nap is Birmingham and over 2.5 match goals at 12-5. There's been 21 goals in the last five Birmingham home games. Actually, all form-wise, they've won four of their last five. They're taking on a Sheffield Wednesday side who are really struggling and have been not brilliant on the road. They've lost, in fact, to three of the bottom four in their last five away games. That's got to be a big worry for Gary Monk. No love lost between these two managers either, but Birmingham, despite not winning at home, have been playing tougher teams than the ones that Sheffield Wednesday have been losing to. Birmingham and over 2.5 match goals at 12-5 the nap.
Given the season that they are having, it's not many times I've actually opposed Southend United, but I'm doing that this weekend with Burton at 3-4 away at Rootsall, but I'm going for goals in this one. Southend have lost 10 of 15 games at home, haven't scored in three of the last four, and Burton, while they're not winning many, they're good enough to win here, especially with Jamie Murphy, unknown from Rangers, scoring four in five. Burton to win this, and over 2.5 goals at 31-20, my nap.
As so often this season, 20th placed Mansfield overvalued, Cheltenham in the playoff places undervalued. Cheltenham have won 9 of 15 at home, including the last four straight, scoring 10, and they've not dropped points at home against the bottom half side all season. So 19-20 outright is fine. However, Cheltenham's league best defence doing their best work away from home. They have conceded in 7 of the last 8 at home. Mansfield dodgy on the road, but have scored in 7 of the last 8 away. So I'm pushing the value out 14-5. Cheltenham and both teams to score.
Time for the naps then. Let's have a look at the table, shall we?
Maybe you should focus on the fact that you've let a massive lead slip. And less about me down there. No, it's not going too well for me, to be honest with you. And we're going directly against each other here.
We're kind of. I wouldn't mind.
Well, they could both land.
Yeah, they could both land. That'd be nice.
Aubameyang,
it's very unlikely.
It is unlikely. I just think it seems a solid play at the prices. He's 14-5 to score first.
Yeah.
It just seems a pretty logical play.
I like him.
yeah, Everton could go there and win. I'm just so wary of that record there. And I know records are there to be broken.
Yeah, yeah. But, I've not been that impressed with Arsenal. I think they're winning games,
yeah,
undoubtedly, but I think they're winning without impressing me, which okay. is what it's all about.
Yes.
And so I'm going to Everton to win the game at 13-5. And we've got other naps there. Obviously, Ali's just been... He's been pretty sensational this season. He's going Cheltenham winning both teams to score. Some big prices on the board this week with Derek's nap as well, Aston Villa.
Yeah, I think people have reached that stage of the season now where...
Gambling.
They're just going for it. Yeah. And yeah, there's still a long time to go though. Yeah. I was wary if I start going for it, I could be
hitting... What price would you want on hitting green figures moving into the positive?
Probably,
at the end of the season.
Probably a pretty big price.
At least you're honest.
I'll keep doing my best, though.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened or watched The Punt this week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Myself and Alex, we will be back next week. And if you're having a bet this week, make sure you do it with William Hill. And the very best of luck.